Welcome. You are listening to the Retirement Lifestyle Show with Roshan Lungani, Eric Olson, and Adrian Nicholson. This show is an exploration of ideas to help you work toward your ideal retirement. Get ready for the financial independence of your dreams.
Welcome to the Retirement Lifestyle Show. I'm your co-host, Roshan Lungani, here with Adrian Nicholson. We are recording right after the 4th. Adrian, how was your 4th of July?
It was good. We didn't do too much, though, but we saw some fireworks at the end of the day. It was kind of weird that the 4th of July was in the middle of the week, so we didn't do too much, but had a good time overall.
Yeah, we did go to see some fireworks with the kids. We found in Great Falls, Virginia, it was a lot less crowded than when we've gone to Fairfax, Herndon, or especially D.C. So it was easier this year in terms of getting in and out, traffic and so on, than it was in the past.
Oh, that's awesome. Whenever it travels smooth on the 4th of July, that's always good.
Yes, I think this will be during the holiday season, during Christmas time. We'll go to Tyson's too for the Santa pictures because there's no line. It's somewhat of a hidden gem. It's worth the extra drive versus someplace closer, and I think we found that for the 4th of July, so we'll be going there going forward as well. Let's jump into our topic today. We saw a really interesting article in the Wall Street Journal called How to Retire Better from Retirees Who Learned the Hard Way by Veronica Dager and Ann Turgenson. And so Adrian, I thought it'd be great to review this article and share some lessons we've seen from our clients, from retirees, and helping those that are listening that aren't retired yet, or even those that are, with ways to just have a more happy, fruitful, successful retirement in their mind. So we've both gone through the article. We've got several points to share. Adrian, why don't you start us off?
Yeah, of course, I'd be happy to. And the reason why I liked this article was that it just gave real retirement experiences that people have. Examples are really helpful for people out there to learn from, just change up anything that they're doing, or just get ideas, or just see how other people's experiences can help them with their overall situation. And this article is just a really good way to just help people go in the right direction to achieve financial security, have a rewarding post-work life, which everybody wants out there. And it really can relate to whatever stages of life that you're in, because these are real people with real experiences that you can just draw from and plan ahead. That's why I really like this article that you found, Roshan.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I was reviewing this and it really struck me that everyone's situation is different. So you've got to plan what's best for you individually. But I'll start with, here are the four items that were mentioned that they would have done differently. One is save more. Two is put time into building relationship. Three is take better care of their health. And four is cultivating new pursuits. So it was those four items. Now, what was interesting to me is that for one person, save more, and another in the save more category was possibly work longer, whereas for another person, they had said sort of the exact opposite of, I wish I had retired earlier. So that's where I mentioned it being unique for each individual, that I really think each person needs to plan out their retirement. There was a quote in there that I definitely agree with that say, people plan how to spend their money, but not their time. And I think you see that in this just with the contrast of people. So the first person they profile was an entrepreneur named his name was Jim Pilsner. He's 78 and retired. And his regret was not setting goals for himself in retirement.
Yeah, that was a good one. I mean, I broke it down into the three lessons, and that was the first lessons that they were trying to draw out from these people experiences. And that is, investing for retirement means more than money. And in this person's case, I think one of the big things that they wanted to do or make a change was go back to school, go to university, take some online course, where I think one of the biggest things you can draw from this, that it's really important to invest in yourself, where a lot of people, maybe their identity is wrapped up and to their job they have or the company they work for. And they spend a lot of time, a lot of years working for this company or this job, just investing in the role that they have right now and spending a lot of time in it. And when it comes to the time where they have to transition and move on from that, they can have a loss in identity. And that can be really difficult to navigate. But that's why it's really important here, where I'm talking about investing yourself is really key, where this person is going to go back to school, where it's something new, something different, but they're also learning and taking a new route, which could help them make this transition.
Yeah, it reminds me of when I was doing my Science of Happiness course classes at the senior centers locally. And there we talked about the quote that Jim had said is recognize what drives them and what success really means. You're referring to other retirees, what drives
them,
what success really means. And that we would talk about that in my Science of Happiness courses as well, that you've got to have something you want to accomplish or something you want to do. And by do, I mean accomplish is a better word than do, because do might just mean time, but you've got to have something that you want to accomplish in your retirement. And I remember one of the people in the, while I was teaching that class, and I say teaching it, it was more like moderating a discussion, said her goal was just to have one spoon of chocolate ice cream a day. So it doesn't have to be something huge. In Jim's case, he talked about going back to school first part-time, and he'll be full-time in the fall, because for him, it was learning was one of the things that motivated him. So anyone else that's retired, I think you take the time to plan out what motivates you and what you'd like to do, so that once you retire, you're able to accomplish that. And that's something we talk about with our clients all the time. So, you know, I've probably shared this story on the podcast as well, where I have a client who in retirement wanted to learn to swim. And then she took some classes, lived her whole life not knowing how to swim, but in retirement learned to do that. So I think having these things you want to do or want to accomplish is important to having what is a successful retirement for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great point. I really like that, Roshan. And it's also important to note to just set goals to work towards or invest to. It can really give you a sense of accomplishment once you achieve them, no matter how big or how small they are. Just have something to work towards to or invest. Just give yourself something that is a guide for you at this stage of your life. And it doesn't matter what it is, but just having it planned out can show whether you're on track or not. And really, when you set these goals too, these are something that you want to accomplish and will give you that feeling of success or not. So, and it's something that you want to do. So working towards and investing things that you want to do can lead to a happier, more successful post-work life. The goal setting aspect is key here too.
It is. And as I was going through this article, I just thought about the planning process and how useful that is. Going a little bit deeper in that as well, how planning, as I mentioned earlier, for your time is as important as planning for your money. Because I think by and large, our industry and, you know, retirees that are doing it on their own figured out planning the money phase. Yeah, that's not uncommon. Whereas planning what you'll do to be happy in retirement and how you'll spend your time, that I think is something that we do that is fairly unique in the industry and what's out there. So I would encourage everyone listening to make sure you plan on both items. And another line in the article that we go through pretty frequently with our clients is it's that retirees don't realize how much their career provide a sense of identity and self-worth. That's a quote I pulled from the article. And I definitely see that all the time, where I've had clients say they'll go to, you have a client that retired earlier, I think it was in his late 50s. At this point, he's been retired for 20 years. I'm sorry, 15 plus years. But he said right after he retired, he would go to a party or an event and people would, you know, say, you know, what do you do? And he'd say retired, and he felt like people looked down upon him for being retired, which was a surprise to me to hear. When he said this to me about 15 years ago, because we spend all our time where people talk about their goal being to retire. So you would think that, you know, if you're at a party and you say retired, whereas everyone else is talking about their work, I would almost think that people would look at you like, oh, you made it, as opposed to it being a negative. But I don't know whether that was in his mind or that was the reality of feeling that. But knowing that that might happen, that loss of identity, knowing that that might happen to you in retirement might put you in a better position to prepare for it and feel comfortable with your decision to retire, particularly for those who retire at a younger age.
Mm-hmm. And what comes to mind now, and this is something we talked about before in previous podcasts, I think it's a really good thing to do and important to try out is test drive your retirement. And if you're a new listener or a new viewer, this is something where you practice how it's going to be post-work, where you try out some hobbies or different interests, or you see who you're going to be spending the time with. Just see what life is like before actually making that transition. Again, it's called test driving your retirement is key here, because it can have, you can have both feet in different parts of life stages, wherever you're at, where you're still currently working, but maybe you take a week or two off or some time off just to see what life is going to be like in retirement, where that paints the picture on what it's going to be like, to see if you need to make any changes or adjustments. I think that's something that can help people in that situation as well. And that's also something that the article points out. This will be the second lesson on my list, is that relationships are key in retirement. And they pointed out a Harvard study on adult development that showed that the quality of relationships can help with people living longer, having a healthier life or lifestyle, and just being happy at the end of the day. And what the word that sticks out the most in this sentence is quality of relationships. It's not about quantity. It's not having the most amount of friends or colleagues or whatever it may be in this case. It's the quality, the type of relationship that you have with the people. Is it meaningful to you? Does it help you out when you're going through a tough time, or when you're having a great time, does it make it even better? So the quality aspect of a relationship is something that people need to consider here when they're making this transition to retirement. I thought that was a good thing to point out here, Roshan.
Yeah, I agree completely. Going back to what I mentioned earlier about the science of happiness courses that I had done, discussion group, Martin Seligman, who's the professor and one of the thought leaders in the space, is a professor at University of Pennsylvania where they have a class on this. He came out with what he called the PERMA model, P-E-R-M-A, and that stands for positive emotion, engagement, positive relationships, and meaning and accomplishment. And he had said these are the five things you need to really be happy. But positive relationships, what you just described, and that's what I would see most frequently would impact people. So to me, it was a relatively brief section in the article. And Adrian, you touched on this, but I pulled a quote, which was, the best predictor of longevity, health, and happiness in later life is the quality of your relationships. To me, that's the most powerful takeaway from this story. So when we were teaching or moderating that class, the science of happiness, we would have people write down what they're grateful for, right? And there's, throughout Seligman's book, he talks about having a gratitude journal where every night you write the three things that happened that day you're grateful for. And they touched on some studies that said just doing this had a greater efficacy than many depression drugs in terms of helping people with depression. And the number one thing people would always say, whatever they referenced that day as the things they were grateful for, were almost always related to a relationship or an interaction with someone else. It would be a phone call with someone, getting together for lunch or dinner, or what someone else did. By an overwhelming majority, that was what people were grateful for. So to me, that's the most powerful part of the article, that relationships are the key to retirement. It also can be a little challenging, especially based on who you are and your personality.
Mm-hmm. Or your situation as well, too, because mm-hmm. it could tie in here for somebody if a majority of their life it has been really involved with their career and creating a lot of professional relationships and a strong network. It might be something to consider as well, seeing which relationships you should really be maintaining when you make this transition as well. Because again, if this has been some, if you're in the situation where a lot of your career really is your identity and a lot of the relationships you have were in this career space that you've been, maintaining those relationships can be important as well until you make that transition and time goes on, especially within the early parts of that transition as well, can be vital. And also, it just, you don't want to sometimes just shut the door right away on these professional connections, because in this article as well, it pointed out an example of a retiree who wanted to maybe consider going back and working a little bit more because he had some time on his hand, but he couldn't do that because he didn't maintain those connections as well. So what you pointed out as well, Roshan, it can be as simple as just making a phone call or checking in on a person from time to time again, or going to lunch. It doesn't have to be like you have to see this person every single day, but just not shutting the door completely on them is important here to maintain that relationship, whatever it may be.
Yeah, that's why that transition to retirement is so difficult, right? You've saved enough money and you're ready to retire. You retire, not only are you losing a little bit of that sense of identity and self-worth, but you're now potentially building an entire new social circle, right? Especially for people whose primary interaction with others is at the office, right? If you don't have that strong social network outside of the office setting, then you've got to fill that gap where you're interacting with people. And if you have a strong social circle, your time frame, your age will impact that. So I've had clients that retired earlier that say, you know, none of my friends are retired, so I've got to find a whole new group of people to spend time with. So you're losing that identity, losing what filled up 8 hours plus a day of your time. In that time, you are interacting with others and you're losing all that. And then you've got to also potentially build a whole new social infrastructure. So it can be very difficult. Adrian, what you pointed out with the person wanting to work more, that to me really showed how everyone's situation is different. Because they had the three people they profiled were potentially working longer or earlier were different. I'm going to jump into that, Adrian, but did you have something that you were going to add?
Well, the last thing I will add in this section is, I'll just make a quote, timing your retirement, especially when it comes to maintaining your relationships or whatever it may be, is something that people should think about and consider, because timing your retirement may impact what people you do spend time with and what some people don't. Again, going back to this article as well, somebody in this article decided to work a little bit longer and delay their retirement. And by the time they did retire, they weren't able to spend as much time with their family because they moved. So timing your retirement is something else that we're throwing in the mix here that you should consider as well, because that does play a factor. Like you mentioned too, Roshan, if you're somebody where you're retired and all of the people you spend time with are working, it might be different. Or let's just say you're working right now and all of the people you know are already retired as well. It can change back and forth here. So the timing aspect too is something that I just want to point out and is key with your relationships, because it also can go into just depending on what your hobbies and interests are. You might want to plan your retirement around when you're at your peak physique, whatever it may be, or whatever it is, so you can enjoy that hobby or interest you have to the fullest extent you can possibly do. So that's the last thing I would add on this section as well, timing your retirement.
Yeah, that also to me, I like the sentiment. It just seems so difficult. So there were three people profiled: Jay Holt, who regrets not retiring sooner because he wanted to play polo in retirement but was then injured; Dan Roberts, who's the one who you mentioned earlier, wished he kept up with his colleagues so he could work more. He wants to work more because after he retired, his family moved to New Zealand and he can only afford 2 visits a year, and he'd like to visit them more. So he wanted to work more. So we've got Jay that wish he retired earlier, and Dan that wish he had worked longer. the circumstances and the rationale behind why they have these goals, though, were things you can't plan for, right? You can't plan for being injured playing polo, so losing that goal of retirement. And you can't necessarily plan for when his family moved. In Dan's case, at 18 months into his retirement is when he learned that the family was moving. And then finally, there is one other, Arthur Parmentier, who wished he worked longer, but he wished he worked longer because he's not sure he has enough for retirement. Now, in that case, that to me looks like something that can be planned for, right? Because we do that all the time with the planning. There may be unexpected expenses. They weren't profiled in the article, but at the very beginning of our recording, I had said what stood out to me is how everyone's situation is different. To me, that means everyone does need to build their own plan, right? To figure out what they want to do.
Well, everyone's situation is different, but when it comes to this topic, you got to admit there are some similarities here that you can just learn from and draw from here, how people maintain their relationships, how they have to set goals and plan for just unexpected events. So there are similarities, but like you mentioned, there are the differences that you have to monitor as well.
Yeah, what I was referencing with the differences, even if they're 99% the same, that 1% difference could change your decision with when to retire, for example. Right. Like the last one we mentioned with Arthur, him feeling like he's not sure if he has enough. To me, if a plan was done, if you had planned out the situation, how you'll spend your money and how you'll spend your time, I think that can be identified before retirement versus, you know, later years. Because in many cases, you retire from a higher income and then you realize later it's not enough. You either have to cut back your spending or possibly work some more. In many cases, that work some more maybe at a lower income, right? So 1 year worked longer before you officially retire may be the equivalent of multiple years of part-time work in retirement that I think can be planned for. So when I say everyone's situation is different, that's by no means not saying there aren't similarities. That to me underscores the value of planning out your situation, of doing a good financial plan and about thinking out your process. Now, we are planners. So for everyone listening, this may be coming from a little biased position, but I don't think I'm coming from a biased perspective at all. I'll also say on the other side of things, using Dan's situation with his family moving to New Zealand or Jay's situation where he got injured, you can't necessarily plan for those things, right? So you can build a plan and the plan be prepared for it to change. We always say that just with the markets opening the next day, your plan's obsolete because the numbers have changed a little bit. Obsolete's probably too powerful a word. I should say your plan is not going to be exactly accurate then, but it still can help you get most of it figured out. Definitely not all of it though. I think it can put you on the right path.
Yeah, I agree. So let's just move, with that being said, let's just move on to the last lesson, which is retirement is longer than you think. And this is where a projection by the Society of Actuaries came out with some stats saying that males that are 65 years old right now are projected to live to 84, or females that are 65 are projected to be 87. And they're coming out with a lot of surveys saying right now that people are just really underestimating these numbers, and that just retirement is going to be a lot longer than people are really expecting nowadays as well. What do you think about those stats, Roshan?
Yeah, you know, a couple things. One, it was a surprise for me because for some reason I thought I'd seen the number 82 for Ben. So so it was a little bit further out than we thought. And it also made me think of just with the planning process. We've discussed this on one of our earlier episodes. Eric and I spent a lot of time talking about, you know, life expectancy. And I had mentioned how we typically plan for age 100, making sure you have enough in assets till age 100, whereas Eric had a questionnaire he would have his clients use that would try to identify their specific life expectancy. Whichever methodology you feel most comfortable with, I would say you use, but the point being, I don't think any plan that doesn't go at least till the late 80s, you know, 84 for men and 87 for women, is sufficient. So you've got to make sure you plan at least for, you know, maybe 90, right? And then you can take other things into consideration. Like I've had clients that have had major health issues in the past that they recovered from and were healthy from, but that lowered their life expectancy for sure. So looking at your personal health, family history is all worthwhile. Just make sure you plan for enough years. We always say it's better to have a little bit more than a little bit less in your retirement. You don't want to be, looking for a job in your 80s.
Yeah, exactly. And what comes to top of mind when you talk about this is when retirement is going to be longer than expected or not, is Social Security comes to the top of, I'm pretty sure, our listeners and viewers' minds right now. And I know you don't know their situation. Everybody's different. But what would be some of the tips or some of the main things people really need to consider about whether I should be taking Social Security now, delaying it? What would be just some of the points that you can just give people to consider? I know you don't know their situation, but what are the things you would just draw them to first?
Well, what we do for our clients in that comparison with Social Security is we look at two different things. One is, based on life expectancy, when they'll be able to get the most out of the system. So typically, if you're living beyond 80, you'll get more money out of Social Security if you take it at 70. I think that might be where I was anchoring to the number 82. I think it's usually around 82 that it's the break even. So what that means is if you take Social Security at your full retirement age, let's say it's 67 versus age 70, you have 3 years between 67 and 70 where you're getting money from Social Security. But then if you wait till 70, you're getting more than you would have gotten at 67. That break even is usually around age 82. So whether delaying it or not. So we first look at it with, what could get you the most out of the system. And then we also will look at it with how that'll impact your financial plan. So we'll take a variety of ages of when you can get Social Security, plug it in your plan and say, okay, are you in a better off or worse off position if you delay it? And that's the part that can be unique for individuals. The break even of roughly age 82 seems to hold. Another thing I also consider when we're looking at retirement and Social Security planning is, what have you done regarding long-term care? Have you gotten insurance? Have you not gotten insurance? And if you don't have insurance, we'll oftentimes look towards delaying Social Security just so if anything were to happen, if you entered a facility, spent down your assets and come out, at least the fixed income you have is higher. Now, it's a great time for me to point out, this is not advice. This is just something for you to think about. Please consult your financial advisor, your tax advisor. And if you'd like help on these matters, Adrian and I are available to help you as well. Feel free to reach out to us via email or phone call. All of our contact information are available on the website, retirementlifestyleshow.com, or in the show notes as well.
Yeah, awesome. I mean, we just ran through all my points. Are there any parting thoughts that you have with this article or just the topic that we just discussed on Social Security as well?
Well, now just going back to the article, I hate repeating this over and over again, but I think a couple quotes that stand out, I'll just revisit. But one is, people plan how they'll spend their money, but not their time. So I think it's very important to plan and to make sure you're looking at both your time and your money. The life expectancy number you mentioned of 84 for men, 87 for women, that's life expectancy of a 65-year-old. So once you've made it to 65, that's the life expectancy. I think that's a very important point. And then finally, what I thought was probably the most valuable one, it was a very short line, but relationships being the key to retirement, the best predictor of longevity, health, and happiness in later life is the quality of your relationships. So in some cases, it means revisiting relationships you had. Some cases, it's maintaining. In other cases, it's developing new ones. So just revisiting that. I guess I'll add one final thing. I said this at the beginning, but the things that the retirees wish they would have done differently are save more, put more time into building relationships, take better care of their health, and cultivating new pursuits. So both our interpretation and what the retiree said directly. Adrian, I thought it was very interesting, very well written, and useful for people retiring. Do you have anything to add on on that article and our interpretation and breakdown of it.
I really enjoyed our discussion today. This topic, I feel like I could just talk about forever because it's really important as well. Especially if sometimes you have the money aspect figured out, there's just a lot more that goes in retirement than just that. And that's what the heart and soul of this article is really trying to make you listeners and viewers understand today, that there are a lot of things that you need to take into consideration to have that retirement success that they want you to achieve.
Yeah, there is a lot out there. This is very, very helpful. I appreciate your points, Adrian, today and the things you brought. And as we've started saying with that quote you have for all the listeners, please take control and achieve your goals. Like, subscribe, give us 5 stars, tell your friends and family. We'll be back next week with another great episode. This has been the Retirement Lifestyle Show.
Schedule a conversation with Roshan, Adrian, or Eric today at retirementlifestyleshow.com. Roshan and Eric are certified financial planner practitioners. They, along with Adrian, are investment advisor representatives and serve clients across the U.S. with financial planning and investment advice through Arete Wealth. If you found this show helpful, gained knowledge, or enjoyed the time you spent with us, tell your friends and leave us a 5-star review. This will help others discover the show. To access our show notes, to download any of the tools mentioned in today's podcast, to ask us a question, or to schedule a conversation, go to retirementlifestyleshow.com. All opinions expressed by podcast hosts and guests are solely their own. While based on information they believe is reliable, neither Arete Wealth nor its affiliates warrants its completeness or accuracy, nor do their opinions reflect the opinion of Arete Wealth. This podcast is for general informational purposes only and should not be regarded as specific advice or recommendations for any individual. Before making any decisions, consult a professional. The show hosts offer investment advice through Arete Wealth Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor, and securities through Arete Wealth Management, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC, and NFA. Finally, our music is The Chance by Jason Shaw and Audionautics. It's part of the YouTube Audio Library, and it's licensed under a Creative Commons license. I am Ray Voices. Thank you for listening.